Hello everyone, myself Professor Reena Pujara, having an industry experience of 6 years and 6 years of teaching. In our earlier topics, we have discussed about how the labor laws are enacted, by whom they are enacted, and what are those areas which are being dealt by, the central ministries, and what are those areas which will be taken care of by state ministries, and what are those critical labor laws which needs a concern of both. So that comes under a concurrent list. So we have already discussed about the machinery, or we can say the hierarchy, when it comes to the central government. So let us discuss when it comes to state government, or what will be the machinery set up and hierarchy followed by the state government for the labor administration in that particular state. The machineries for labor administration in the states are similar to those operating at the center. So when we talk about the hierarchy and the machineries, most common are more similar to what actually is being set up in the central ministries or governments. As explained earlier, most of the important labor subjects are in the concurrent list of the constitutions. So when we talk about concurrent list, that is mean both the parties, that is state and central, both have a major role to play in it. The central government is empowered to give directions to the state governments and to delegate powers and impose duties on them. So whenever any law, will require approval of central government, but then certain powers and authorities are always given to the state government along with some responsibilities of implementation of that particular law in their states. Many central labor laws are enforced both by central and state governments in industries or establishments falling under the respective jurisdiction. Examples of such laws are Payment of Wages Act 1936. So when we talk about Payment of Wages Act 1936, so it talks about or it sets rules and regulations regarding timely payment of wages, the minimum and the maximum time duration within that the payment of wages has to be done by the employer or organization. The person or the authorized person who will be responsible for the timely payment of wages, who can be held responsible for it. Then the method of payment, the registers of payment, etc. So all the rules regarding the payment of wages are covered under Payment of Wages Act 1936. Talking about Minimum Wages Act 1948, it talks about the minimum amount of wages to be paid to an employee in a particular industry. It also covers, the payment of wages to be paid to the people working in the agriculture sector. So here they have decided on the amount, minimum amount of wages to be paid to the workers by an employer. Payment of Bonus Act 1965. So here in this act, what is bonus exactly? Whom this bonus has to be paid? What are the minimum requirements of an employee to claim the bonus? And who will be paying this bonus in which situation? So all these terms and conditions are and rules and regulations are being mentioned in the Bonus Act 1965. Industrial Disputes Act 1947. Now this act actually talks about what is industry and what kind of disputes arise in an industry. So whenever there is a dispute in an industry, what should be the mechanism that can be used to resolve this dispute? What are the machinery set up to resolve this dispute within the industry? If the dispute is not resolved within the industry, we can, approach the higher authorities, and the procedure for that is being mentioned in the Industrial Dispute Act. It also talks about Industrial Employment Standing Orders Act 1946. There are also labor laws enacted by Parliament, the responsibility for the enforcement of which lies with the state government. Here we are talking about, all those laws which are there in the union list, the areas which are covered in union list. But of course, the laws when they are enacted are a responsibility of the states to implement this law and have a proper control or a check of implementation of this law in their respective states. Such labor laws include Factories Act 1948. So when we talk about Factories Act 1948, there are various provisions in this act which are safety, health and welfare of employees. So these three provisions have some criteria defined under each. So it becomes the responsibility of the state to implement this act in the factories in their respective states, and you know, to take timely report from the inspectors that whether these laws are being implemented by the factories or not. It talks about Plantation Labor Act 1951. So again, states become responsible to implement Plantation Labor Act 1951 in their state if you know that a state falls under it, and to have a timely check on it. It also has Bidi and Cigar workers wherein they are talking about the conditions of employment. So this act was passed in 1966. So when we talk about, say, workers working under this industries like Bidis and Cigars, so here there are no harmful machines, but then the chemical itself, the material itself can be harmful to the employees' health. So certain measures are being given to taken that should be taken care of by the organization or the employer so that the employees' health is not deteriorated. So this has to be again implemented and checked on timely basis by the state government. Workmen's Compensation Act 1923. Now this particular act talks about all types of compensation. So when we talk about compensation, that is basically monetary in nature, and what are the criteria under which this compensation takes place, what are the rules, regulation, methods to claim for this compensation, all are mentioned in under Workmen's Compensation Act 1923. Most of the states have their own labor laws, such as Shops and Establishment Act. Now few states have their own laws which may be implemented in their particular state but may not be required, and so they are not implemented in the other states. So some of them are like Shops and Establishment Act, which is followed in the state of Maharashtra. Holiday with Pay Act. Now here this act talks about, you know, list of holidays. These holidays are payable, that means leave taken on these days will give us the minimum wage for that day, or say minimum salary of that day, and that won't be deducted from your total amount. So this list has to be followed in that particular organization industry wherein they have to be compensated. Industrial Relations Act. Now when we talk about Industrial Relations Act, it is very broader in term. So every state have their own laws which will help improve, smoothen and strengthen the industrial relations prevailing in that particular state. Many state governments have also enacted labor laws supplementing the central enactments. Now here what they are saying is, now say for example any law or any labor law which is being passed by the central government parliament, but then for its smooth and effective implementation, what states does is they further design certain sub laws under that, so that the main law passed by the parliament is being implemented very nicely and they have a proper control on that particular act. So such small acts again are drafted and implemented by state in the consultation with parliament. The state governments have also the responsibility of implementing quite a few non-statutory central programs in the field of labor, and also their own labor and labor welfare programs. Now when we talk about non-statutory, they are voluntary in nature. So every state have some voluntary institutions which work towards betterment of the working conditions of employee, not only the working conditions but uplifting this part of society, so that they also have that privilege to have a better standard of living. So this also becomes a responsibility of state. The main organizations for labor administration in the states comprises of, as we have discussed, that many of the organizations are similar to what prevail in the main ministries. So some of them may differentiate depending on the state's requirement. Few of them are Department of Labor and Employment Secretariat, Office of the Labor Commissioner, which we also had, when we talk about the main ministry. Chief Inspectorate of Factories, Chief Inspectorate of Boilers. Now here they have differentiated for other factories and particularly chief inspectors for the boilers. Office of Chief Inspector, Shops and Establishments. So these particular chief inspectors will keep a check on whether the shops and establishment licenses are being availed by the concerned parties or not. Directorate Employment and Training, this particular department or organization we also had in the main ministry. Directorate Medical Services. Now when we talk about medical services, it is again an autonomous organization under ESIC, that is Employment State Insurance Corporation. Social Security Directorate, which looks after the employee welfare majors. Adjudication authorities, that means other authorities as and when required to support the other mentioned in this list. The responsibility of labor administration in the states generally vests in the Department of Labor and Employment, the secretariat of which represents the government aside. Now here when we talk about state, so Department of Labor and Employment Secretariat is somewhere a representative of the central government or the government. It is generally in charge of ministers who may occasionally be assisted by a minister of state and deputy minister. On the official side, the secretary or the principal secretary is the chief executive of that particular organization. His team generally includes an additional secretary, a few joint secretaries, deputy secretaries and under secretaries according to the requirement. Now here we the people who are mentioned in this hierarchy may have an alteration as per the requirement. It is the organization that formulates the labor policy of the state, establishes liaison with the Central Ministry of Labor, coordinates and guides the activities of enforcing machineries and takes decision on behalf of the government. So when we are talking about Labor and Employment Secretariat, so here they are particularly into formulation of labor policies of states and with licensing, that means coordinating with the central government, taking the approval etc. is being done by this particular Department of Labor and Employment Secretariat. Coordinates and guides the activities, that means some sort of coordination and guidance is required when it comes to implementation part. So the formulation part is already done with the consultation of central government, but then implementing how, when, everything needs to be guided. So this guidance part is also done by them. Enforcing machineries and takes decision on behalf of the government. Now at times when we need faster decision making process, so sometimes it is required to be taken on the state level itself. So some decisions, some authority is being given to take decisions on this level without consultation of central government. Office of the Labor Commissioner. So we also had an office of Labor Commissioner when we spoke about the main ministry. So here in state also we have an office of Labor Commissioner. It plays the anchor role in the labor administration of the states. Why? Because Labor Commissioner somewhere represents authority or the authorized person when the labor or the representatives of labor like trade union can approach. Majority of labor laws are enforced in the state under this organization. The organization also makes efforts to prevent work stoppages including strikes and lockouts and to maintain industrial peace. So now it becomes the responsibility of labor commissioner to maintain industrial peace in that particular state. by avoiding strikes, so that they can have negotiations, or the labor commissioner can interfere and can have a consultation with employer and employee organizations, and they can settle the disputes there and there on, and so that industrial peace is being maintained. There are no strikes. When there are illegal layoffs, again the labor commissioner becomes responsible to take care of these illegal layoffs, etc. The labor commissioner is assisted by joint labor commissioner, deputy labor commissioner, assistant labor commissioner, labor superintendents, labor officers and labor inspectors. So these is a hierarchy that is followed on the state level, and these are the people who will be assisting the labor commissioner to have a, better formulation and implementation of state policies in their respective states. Labor officers, some of whom are posted in headquarters, but majority of them operate in different areas of the states. So it is not mandatorily required that all the hierarchy sits at one place. Few of them are placed at headquarters to, give support and smoother implementation of policies and formulation of policies, but other may be located in the different areas of that particular state. The labor commissioner is generally conciliation officer under the Industrial Dispute Act. So when we talk about labor commissioner, he has various roles to play when it comes to state level performance or functional roles. So your labor commissioner is first acting as an arbitrator, to resolve the conflicts arising out of industries. But sometimes in some states, labor commissioner is also appointed as a conciliation officer. Now, who is a conciliation officer? Conciliation officer is a person who will act as a third party, okay, whenever it comes to resolving a dispute. But when it comes to conciliation officer, their suggestions and resolutions are not binding on the parties. But when it comes to arbitrator, both the parties compulsorily have to, follow the award released by the arbitrator. Conciliation officer under the Industrial Dispute Act 1947. He also acts as a registrar of trade union under the Trade Union Act 1926. So when we go through Trade Union Act 1926, there we come to know that any trade union to have its legal existence needs to get registered, and for this registration they need to approach to the registrar of that particular state, who will be responsible and who will take care of all the documentation parts and the procedure for getting that trade union registered. So here along with conciliation officer, labor commissioner also acts as a registrar for trade unions under the Trade Union Act 1926. Also inspector under most of the relevant labor laws. Now inspector is something to have a control on, a check on implementation of policies. So labor commissioner at times plays a role of inspector, wherein he will inspect all the provisions laid down in different acts are being followed in the factories, industries or not. Controlling authority, etc. under a few labor laws. Of late, a special responsibility of enforcing Minimum Wages Act 1948 in agriculture have devolved upon this organization. So now one more additional responsibility is being given to Labor Commissioner Office, is that the implementation of Minimum Wages Act. Okay, but in the agricultural sector. Industry we are already looking into, but now the additional responsibility to intervene into the agricultural sector and implementation of this Minimum Wage Act into agricultural sector is also being given to the Labor Commissioner's Office. In some states, directorates of agricultural labor have been established to assist the labor commissioner. Now, when the labor commissioner has so much to look upon and the additional responsibility is being given to the labor commissioner, there is also in some states, it is not mandatory or it is not possible in every state. So, in some state, to assist the labor commissioner, there are some directorates of agriculture who are here to help the labor commissioner in implementation of Minimum Wages Act in the agricultural sector of their states. A large number of labor enforcement officers or labor inspectors have been appointed for the purpose. The labor commissioners also look after the establishment, arbitration and several other non-statutory programs under his jurisdiction in the whole state. Now, we have spoken about some non-statutory programs which are actually, you know, assisting or complementing the implementation of actual law that is being designed by the parliament and the state. So here we have some non-statutory. Non-statutory is not compulsory in every state, but then every state have their own programs which helps the main act to be implemented very smoothly in their own states. Talking about Chief Inspectorate of Factories. Now, when we talk about this inspectorate, it is related and limited only to factories. So, in Factories Act 1948, we will be in a better position to understand what is defined as a factory. He is primarily responsible for the enforcement of the Factories Act 1948. So, Chief Inspectorate of Factories is responsible or limited only to implement all those provisions which are made under Factories Act 1948. He is generally assisted by few deputy chief inspectors and number of inspectors of factories. So now this hierarchy we can understand. The chief inspector is being assisted by a few deputy chief inspectors and number of inspectors who will actually go on the factory and inspect, you know, whether the provisions are being followed or not, or the notice should be provided to the employer. Besides implementing the provision of the Factories Act 1948, those relating to safety, health and welfare, that means Factories Act 1948 talks all about safety, health and welfare of the employees. So these three criteria need to be taken care of by this particular inspectorate of factories. Hours of works, dangerous operations, hazardous processes, leaves and wages, the organization has also been entrusted with the responsibility of enforcing the provisions of the Payment of Wages Act 1936, Maternity Benefit Act 1961, Child Labor Prohibition and Regulation Act 1986 and the Minimum Wages Act 1948 in respect of factories. So, when we spoke about Minimum Wages Act with respect of agriculture, it comes under the Labor Commissioner. But now here when we talk about Inspectorate of Factories, not only looking you know, for the Factories Act provision, but they are also being given some additional responsibilities in the factory. They need to check about the minimum and the timely wages payment of wages in that particular industry or factory. Then they need to check that there is no child labor working in the factories. Then they are also responsible to see whether the Maternity Benefit Act is being provided to the women working in that particular factory.